Can we give God the glory and praise this morning? Awesome. Have a seat, please. Have a seat. So excited to be with you today, and I'm so excited about our people online. Can you guys welcome all those who are joining us online this morning? We love you guys. So glad, wherever you're at, so glad to have you this morning. Hey, I want to encourage you with this. We've been handing in these baby bottles, and I got a quote. We've had hundreds of them handed out, and they're all working their way back. So if you have one, it's not too late to hand these back in. But we had 64 already counted, tons more that are waiting to be counted. And Cheryl from First Coast Women's Services said, we have at least $2,800 already handed in for these bottles. I think that's pretty cool, $2,800. So it's going to be a lot more than that, and so you can still participate in this. So I want to encourage you with that. Also, I want to encourage you that we have an opportunity right now to make a difference, along with these baby bottles, to save lives of babies, and it's right here in these packets. It's called the Human Life Protection Amendment. And the goal is that this would end up on the ballot of 2022 here in the state of Florida. And here's what it basically says that we can vote on. And here it is. All human beings have a right to life regardless of age, regardless of illness or disability, when there is a detectable heartbeat. I think that makes perfect sense. Don't you think it makes perfect sense? I think it makes perfect sense. And so here's how you can do that and help make this happen a reality in our state. And that is, you can go ahead and sign with the petitions. They're out there on the outreach table. We're trying to get 900,000 petitions signed. And here in Clay County, they said, you know, let's go to a church and find out what church can be a hub. They reached out to us because of what you guys do day in and day out for your community. And so they have said, hey, RCC, can you be a hub for us? We said, absolutely. We have over 20,000 petitions right here on our campus to be handed out all over our county. And we want to encourage you to go ahead and sign one of those outreach table afterward. But also, you can take one of these packets right here, and it's got 20 petitions in each one of these, and you just have your neighbors or your family members sign them and bring them back on August 1st. I'm telling you right now, we have an opportunity to save lives in our state. And I'm thinking, you know what? God's calling us to stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. God's calling us to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's what Jesus did for me. He did for you. Let's do it for others, all right? So I'm excited about this opportunity. Encourage you right afterward to go visit the outreach table and sign a petition. You have to be a registered state and a registered voter in the state of Florida. You don't have to even be a registered person in the state of Florida to vote to be a part of this. You can actually take a packet and have other people sign it if you want to participate in this, and have them back here on August 1st. Hey, let's go to God in prayer right now. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, we want to stop and acknowledge, God, that you have us here for a reason. You blessed us so that we can be a blessing. And so, Lord, I pray that we stand up for those who cannot stand for themselves, and Lord, that we will take full advantage of the life that we have to save other lives. And Lord, I thank you so much for those who are right now working behind the scenes to make this happen, and use us here at RCC and all over Clay County to step up and be a blessing once again for those, for the unborn, and for those that people think, you know what, they're just a waste of space, Lord. Let's not allow them to be viewed that way. Everyone is made in the image of God, and everyone is valued just as much as any of us are valued. Lord, thank you so much for giving our value in Jesus. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You know, we're in our daily Bible reading right now, and I want to tell you a story, and it's kind of a crazy time in Judah's history, because it seems like everything's out of control. I don't know if you've ever had a moment in your life where you felt like you were totally out of control. One time I was living in Phoenix, Arizona, just moved there from Florida, and I went up to Sedona to see a kid that was in my youth ministry, and he was performing in his band, and I went to go see them perform. As I was there in Sedona, I didn't get to stay the whole time because it started getting late. I got a wife, I got kids, so I need to head home. So I left around 10:30 at night. And if you've ever been in Arizona, you know there's not a lot of people there. All right, just a lot of vacant space. And so when you go between towns, like, you'll see nobody for sometimes up to an hour. And so as I hit the road, there's nobody around. All of a sudden, right behind me, a car just kind of comes right behind me and follows me for some time. I'm like, this is weird. I'm like, why is he behind me? And I'm not speeding. I'm not going to the speed limit. I don't know if you know the speed limit in Arizona. The interstate is like 250 miles an hour, all right? It's kind of hard to hit the speed limit in Arizona. So I'm not speeding. I'm just kind of going. All of a sudden, I realize it's a cop. It's law enforcement, and he's right behind me. He stays behind me for about 20 minutes. I'm just going, this is so weird. Like, what's going on? And there's nobody else on the road. We get into the next town called Camp Verde. You go down kind of a valley, and then you start coming up into like a ravine, and out of the ravine and up on a plateau. And he like lays off. He's nowhere to be seen. I thought, well, that's weird. Why did he follow me like that? And all of a sudden, we start heading up. And as I'm heading up the plateau about 4,000 feet, I start seeing headlights bouncing off the canyon walls. And I realize he's coming back for me. And I got back on the plateau, and he was right on my tail. And he stayed on my tail for about another 20 minutes. I'm just going, just pull me over, man. What's going on? And finally, he pulled me over. And I've been pulled over a few times because I got a lead foot, all right, confession time. And so all of a sudden, I've always had a cop law enforcement always come on my side of the window. Well, he came on the passenger side. I had a black pickup truck, crew cab, and he was behind me on the passenger side, and he knocks on that window. And I'm like, I'll roll it down. And he says immediately, put your hands in the air. I was like, what's going on, officer? He says, I need your license and I need your registration. I said, well, I need my hands to get that. Is that okay, you know? And so he said, yes, sir. So I slowly started putting my hands down. This is my prayer. My prayer was, Lord, this is not a good time for a sneeze, okay? Please don't let me sneeze right now. And all of a sudden, I looked in the rearview mirror, and I could see on the side mirror that he had his hand on his gun. He was ready. He was nervous. I could hear it in his voice. And I gave him the license, and I gave him the registration. And about 20 minutes later, he came back to me, and he says, you're free to go. I was like, what is that? What was all that about? He says, there's somebody who committed a murder, and they're driving a black truck with out-of-state license plates. And I'm like, oh. I was like, yeah, I haven't done that in at least over a month, officer. I'm good to go, all right? So you don't have to worry about me. And I started driving again, and I just kind of stayed at the speed limit, and there was two cops I passed by. Well, guess what? They followed me for another 20 minutes. And then they peeled off. I guess they found out that's not the right guy. I got to my exit. Nobody's on my exit. I get to my exit. There's a cop there. And then he starts following me almost all the way to my house. When I got home, A, I was exhausted. B, I was like, I'm so thankful for law enforcement. They're trying to make sure everybody's safe. And C, I realized how out of control I had been on my drive home. And maybe that's how you feel right now in your life. You feel like you're totally out of control. You're not calling the shots right now. And in fact, it's pretty scary. And this was a situation the people of Israel, people of Judah are actually in when we come to Isaiah. They have acute awareness of the little control that they have over their future. And we're going to focus on one story from our daily Bible reading. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6. It's about a young man named Isaiah answering the call of God to be a prophet in a very difficult situation in Israel's history. And it seems like everything is coming apart at the seams. So here's what I want you to do. This is an amazing chapter, amazing verse. So I want you at this time, I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up and let's read this. I'm going to read it. And when he gets to the yellow parts, I need you guys to speak out loud. But just imagine yourself in Isaiah's shoes, all right? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, what church? High and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Next. Above him were seraphim. Each with six wings, look at these seraphim. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, read with me, holy is the Lord Almighty, the what? Whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds, look at this, they shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a what? With a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with his tongs from the altar. With it he what? Touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, and guilt is taken away, and your sin is now atoned for. Read the next part. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And I said, what church? Here am I, send me. Please be seated. This is an amazing verse right here that we just read. And can you imagine, just want you to imagine for a moment, being in Isaiah's shoes, seeing all that he saw. The story begins the year that Uzziah died. That's when Isaiah has this very strange interaction with God. And this is crucial because the year that King Uzziah died, things seemed to be out of control for God's people. For 52 years, from the time he was 16 to the time that he was 68, Uzziah had ruled over Judah. Uzziah had been a tremendous blessing for Israel. You think about Judah, you think about under Uzziah, they had grown economically. Under Uzziah, they had grown militarily. So Uzziah was synonymous with a blessing from God. And so if you've ever had a boss or had a political leader or maybe worked underneath a person, a great leader, you experience great blessing underneath their leadership, and then you suddenly lose that leader, they pass away or they move away, and you experience a pit in your stomach, and it questions this. Here's a question. What's going to happen next? Without this great leader, what's going to happen now? And in many ways, this is how the people of God, this is how they're feeling when Uzziah died. Most of his reign had been incredible. In 2 Chronicles 26, we see that as long as he stayed focused on God, they flourished. But then as he got older, he forgot where his success came from. And he started doing things that were not godly. He started offering sacrifices in the temple when priests should be the ones doing it. And so here's what happened. It says in 2 Chronicles 26, but after Uzziah became powerful, look at this, church. His pride led to his what? Led to his downfall. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen pride lead to someone's downfall? He got so prideful, like I said, he offered sacrifices when he shouldn't have, and he made bad decisions as he got older, just like David did and Solomon did. And Uzziah lived the last of his days with leprosy, the most shameful disease of that time, away, secluded off from the palace and the temple. While he's tucked away in seclusion, there's a neighboring country that's rising up. And that country's name is Assyria. Assyria was kicking some royal tail in every single direction. And the only nation that had yet to be conquered was Judah. But here, Assyria was on the rise, and God's people were next on the list to be conquered. With Assyria on the rise and Uzziah dying, anxiety is sky high. Finally, in 740 BC, they are without a leader when Uzziah died, and Assyria is, man, knocking on their door. And it's against this backdrop that Isaiah has this vision. It radically altered how he saw things. And here's what I want to say. If you're in a transition right now in your life, maybe spiritually, relationally, occupationally, emotionally, physically, if you're in a transition right now, this is a vision worth paying attention to, because this is a message for anyone who's in transition. You can fill that out on your bulletin right there. This is a message for anyone who's in transition right now. Just like the people of God, they were in transition. They're losing Uzziah. They got Assyria knocking on the door. Because when you're in transition, you need help to keep you calm. You need help to stay calm. So Isaiah sees several things that kind of help him keep calm. Number one, here's what Isaiah sees. He sees God over it all. Isaiah sees God over it all. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw with my eyes the Lord high and exalted. In the very year when it seems like everything else is out of control, Isaiah sees God high and exalted on his throne. Now let me break this down for you. In the ancient Middle East, the higher the throne was, the more authority someone has. So if you go in a royal court and you see the prince and princesses, right above them, you'll see the king and the queen. They have more authority. And so he sees God high and exalted, lifted up. He also sees a train of his robe filling the temple. The longer the train of the robe, the more authority a king had. And Isaiah sees God on the throne, high and lifted up. He has a throne that fills the temple. It fills the entire temple. When I worked at Chick-fil-A as a kid in high school, you know, one of my favorite things was doing the ice cream dispenser, all right? So I get an ice cream cone, and I would, you know, push the lever down, and I always start, you just start doing like this. You start putting layers and layers and layers, and I always made my ice cream cones like super, super tall. And I'd hand them, you know, I'd hand the ice cream to the person. They look at these big old eyes like, what am I going to do with this? I say, hey, my pleasure. Good luck. All right. So That's what's kind of going. This robe is just layer upon layer upon layer. It fills the temple. And you might be asking, what's the big deal with that? Here's the message. Even though your great king Isaiah is going out of commission, the king in which you experience so much prosperity and so much protection and blessing from, even though Assyria is poised to invade, God is saying this, Isaiah, I'm firmly seated on the throne in heaven. The throne at the center of the universe, Isaiah, is not up for grabs. Isaiah is being exposed to a king who is greater than Uzziah in all of his glory. Uzziah is dead. Guess what? God's not dead. Uzziah has left his throne. Guess what? God has not left his throne. And here's what's great. God's not pacing. God's not nervous. God is not anxious. What's he doing? He is seated. He is seated on the throne. And when you're seated on the throne, guess what? You're comfortable. Isaiah sees a king who will never abdicate his throne, who will never be overruled. He sees a king who will never leave. And Uzziah may be going through, you know, this incredible thing with Uzziah leaving the throne, but guess what? God has not abdicated his. And God wanted Isaiah to get a grip on that so that he could keep calm. Second thing that keeps him calm is this, and that is what he saw. Isaiah saw God in the middle of it all. He's in the middle. God is in the middle of it all. Notice what the angels do when they surround the throne. What are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it says this, the whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth, not just part of it, not just a little bit, the whole earth. Not only is God over it all, he's in the middle of it all. His presence is right there in the middle of all. He's not just on the throne, but God is in the midst of the chaos right now. He's smack dab in the chaos with Uzziah dying. He's smack dab in the chaos of Assyria knocking on the door. And the whole earth is full of God's glory. Yeah, Uzziah might be gone, Assyria's on the rise, but no matter how out of control things may seem or how dark things may be, God is in the middle of it all. The very first animated movie that ever came out was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, all right? And it was interesting because this is the first animated movie, and what they did was they had to draw each and every slide, each and every image. There were over 2 million images that made up Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs movie. Each image, each drawing would show up for at least 1/24th of a second. And people would just kind of watch the film, not even paying attention, with no idea how much detail went into every one of those 2 million frames. That's how it is with God. Man, you and I, we move like Mach 5 through our life. One day comes after the next day, followed by the next day, and you and I have no idea how full the glory of God is in every detail of every day. Even in the midst of the chaos, even in the midst of your Uzziah gone or your Assyria knocking on your door, I want you to hear the whole earth is full of God's glory. Bill Russell is one of the most decorated athletes in team sports. He won more world championships than any athlete on a team in his career. He was the first player given later on in his life the designation to be called player coach. He was a player coach of the Celtics, which meant he had just as much authority as any other coach on the bench, but at the same time, he could be in the game. So he could insert himself or excuse himself in a game whenever he wanted. He even implemented strategies himself. He was a player coach. He was over it all, but Bill Russell was in the middle of it all. That's a microcosm of what it's like with God. He's over it all, but he's also in it all. He's right here with us. The whole earth, it says, is full of his glory. The second point, but here's is pretty big, and that is, moves to the third point, and this is massive. Isaiah sees his sinfulness and God's gracious cleansing. He sees sinfulness and he sees God's gracious cleansing. He says right off the bat, he says, woe to me, I am ruined. He knows something. He doesn't say anything about Uzziah. He doesn't say anything about Assyria. Why is he ruined? He says, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among people with unclean lips. And now I have seen with my own eyes the King, the Lord Almighty. You've heard of wake-up calls, haven't you? Well, me and my buddies in college, we should give our friends wake-up calls every now and then. What we do is we would take a flashlight and I would take a pillow. We sneak into the room. We look at each other. It might be 3 or 4 in the morning. And all of a sudden, we look at each other and we count to 1, 2, 3. The light would flash right in the guy's eyes as he's sleeping, all right? And all of a sudden, we yell as loud as we could, train! And he would wake up, his eyes get really big, and I hit him in the face with the pillow as hard as I possibly could, all right? That's just how we do wake-up calls in college. Man, this is a wake-up call. This is a 2x4 in the side of the head. Isaiah is rocked. And suddenly, the only thing he can think of is who he is before God. He's not thinking about anything else. He's not thinking about any of the distractions. He's thinking about where he stands with God. That's all he can think about. And then Isaiah sees an angel flying around with a live coal in his hands. I wonder what was going on in his mind when he saw that. I imagine he thought, I'm toast. I'm an unclean man. I live among unclean people. And now I've got this wild-looking thing coming at me with 6 wings. With a live coal in his hands. I mean, he's like, this can't be good. It says, with it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. And what? Your sin atoned for. Atonement or atone means to cover. It means that your sins are covered. They're eradicated. They've been dealt with. Notice that the coal came from the altar. You're like, what's the big deal with the altar? The altar is where they would make sacrifices to cleanse so that way you be cleansed of your sin. So you could go deeper into the temple. And God doesn't want Isaiah to be at a distance. He wants him, like he wants you, to come near. But first, he needs to cover his sins. And the angel's basically saying this, God has got your sins covered. Your sins are covered. And the only thing I want you to notice is Isaiah didn't do anything. I mean, God takes the initiative. Isaiah doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't know to ask for anything. And so God takes the initiative here. In that very moment, Isaiah understood that he was more sinful than he ever imagined. If you go before God, you'll realize that you're more sinful than you ever imagined. But on top of that, more loved than you ever could have realized. Notice this, nothing about Isaiah's circumstances have changed. Uzziah is still dead. Assyria is still coming. Nothing about his circumstance has changed, but he, Isaiah, has changed. Look what happens next. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. Send me. Notice two things. God doesn't say, Isaiah, I want you to serve me. He doesn't say, he just asks like an open-ended question, whom shall I send? And Isaiah volunteers to answer the call. He doesn't wait to be called by name. And here's the second thing. He volunteers before he knows the job description. I mean, he just says, I'm all in. And if you want to know what happened to his life, join the daily Bible reading and read the rest of Isaiah. You'll find out. But he says, I'm in. Why? Because he's seen the King. He's seen the King. His new preoccupation isn't with Uzziah dying or Syria coming down the pipe. His preoccupation, his only preoccupation, is the King on the throne. And the new questions he's asking his mind is, what's the King going to do with all this mess? And how can the King, the Lord God Almighty, use me in this chaos? That's what he's asking. And Isaiah has had quite an experience, and the question I have in all this is, have we had a wake-up call like this? Have we gotten experienced the glory of God, that we're humbled and we decide to follow him? We see a few insights in Scripture if we're looking for a wake-up call, and those who've had wake-up calls, and it's helped them kind of keep calm when chaos happens. You'll see this, and number one thing you'll see is, you know what, you'll see that God is a leader when we lift him up. God's the leader, we lift him up. Notice what the angels are doing. They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Why were they saying that over and over again? Because when you're always in the presence of God, you're always and continually reminded who God was, who God is, and who God will always be. We lift him up when we get a wake-up call. You know, it's interesting, Wisconsin Badgers were playing against Michigan State Spartans back in the early 90s. And what happened was the stadium is full with Badger fans. That actually happened. The game was in Madison, Wisconsin. But the Badgers were getting blown out 55-10 by the fourth quarter. But it was fascinating because randomly you would hear cheers in the stadium. The Badger fans just randomly all cheer at the same time. It's like, what was causing that? Their team's getting blown out. Because many of them had their earphones on. They were listening to something else. 50 minutes away was Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And there, the big game was happening. The Brewers, Milwaukee Brewers, were whipping up on the Cardinals in the World Series. Everyone at the Badger game, even though they were watching the Badgers, they were listening to the World Series with the Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals. And sometimes that's what it's like being a person of God. We're going to have days where we're going to get blown out. I have days where I get blown out. You do too. When your Uzziah has left the building, your Assyria is knocking on your door. Yet times like these is when we come together as the body of Christ on a weekend like today, and we're tuning our ears to a victory that we've been singing about. We tune our ears to a victory on another frequency. And that's why it's so important to come tonight to the worship night. Come here so we can tune our ears to the victory that we have, even amongst the chaos of our lives. We tune our voices accordingly, even with all the hectic things going around us, because he's a God who's over it all, and he's a God who's in the middle of it all. If he's the leader of your life, you'll keep calm, because number two, also, he's a leader when you fess up. When you fess up. And I'll tell you what, nobody gets in God's presence and walks around and hands God their resume of righteousness. You know, God, I'm pretty impressive. You ought to check this out. Nobody's going to do that. You're going to immediately be blown away by his glory. You'll realize how sinful you are, and you'll have an experience like Isaiah had. You know you've been with God when you realize I've got bigger problems than my circumstances. You've been with God when you realize you've got bigger problems in your health or relational or spiritual or emotional or occupational, whatever it may be. You know you've been with God when you realize your circumstances are not my biggest problems. My biggest problem is my sin. My biggest problem that I've got is my sin. And when you go to God with your sin, you realize that you're more loved than you ever could imagine, and you're more cleansed by his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, than you ever could imagine. You know God's leader of your life, and number three, when you step up. That's what Isaiah does. He says, here am I, send me. Tim Keller, one of my heroes, talks about a time he went to hear a guy do a testimony out in a retreat in Colorado. And the guy started his testimony. He wanted to talk about the bigness of God. And he said, I want you to think about how far it is from our sun to our earth. And the distance between our earth and our sun is 92 million miles. That's a lot. 92 million miles, the distance between the earth and the sun. He said, in the big scheme of the universe, let's just say it's as thick as this paper right here. This right here, the thickness of this paper represents the distance between the earth and the sun. The next question he had is, okay, if this is a measuring stick of, right, 92 million miles thickness of the paper, how far is it from our earth to the nearest star? And if you use this as your measuring point, he said the stack of paper would have to go from the bottom of the ground all the way up to 70 feet high. 92 million miles, each piece of paper, you would have to stack up pieces of paper 70 feet high to get some kind of idea how far away the nearest star is to us besides the sun. Well, how big is the Milky Way? The person said, if you use this as your measuring stick, all right, 92 million miles, the stack of paper from one end of the Milky Way to the other end of the Milky Way would be 310 miles high. That's how big our Milky Way is. And our Milky Way is one of millions of galaxies. And the person ended their testimony by saying this, are you telling me that when it comes to God, he's the kind of person you're going to ask to be your assistant? He's holding all this together by the power of his word, and you're telling me he's the kind of God that you're going to treat as if he's your assistant? And then they said this, I want you to go out outside for a quiet time, just an hour. Just spend time with God for an hour. And I want you to think about, contemplate the implications of what I just said about the bigness of God. And Keller said that when he walked around the mountains of Colorado, he realized how much of his life he'd been trying to make God his assistant. And then he thought about how huge and massive God is. He realized that he needed to stop dwelling on how God can serve him in whatever way he wanted, and that he would avail himself to serve God how God wanted him to serve. The question I have for you right now is, do you remember that moment in your life when you suddenly realized God is not my personal assistant? I am to be his. You know, when you take a bottle of dressing, it always says, whether it's Italian, Thousand Island, or French, or whatever it may be, it says that you have to shake well before using. You've seen that? Shake well before using. Here's the truth. We have to be shook up. We have to be shaken before we can be used by God. And here's a question I want to ask you before we close, and it's basically a statement. When you are out of touch with reality of God, here's the truth. You are out of touch with reality. When you are out of touch with the reality of God, you are out of touch with reality, period. Reality is only what's in God, how you view the world through the lens of God. Anything other than that is a mirage. Anything other than that is a lie. Isaiah sees reality. God is over it all. God is in the middle of it all. And God is far more than just your assistant. Those of us who see him, we lift him up. We fess up, and we step up. So I want to close with a couple of questions, and here it is. Do you have a Uzziah right now in your life? What is your Uzziah? It could be someone, it could be something, but somebody that's, or something that God has blessed you with, but right now they're leaving, or they've left. It could be a job, it could be a person, it could be a relationship. It could be a season of good health or financial prosperity, but God blessed you through that, but your Uzziah is leaving for whatever reason. But I'm here to tell you, even though Uzziah has left the throne, God has not left his, amen? God has not left his throne. And maybe what you need to do in this time of transition is you need to say, you know what, God, I praise you for the Uzziah that you gave me, but right now, God, I want to reconnect with you like I never have as my one true God. The next question I want to ask you is this right here. What is your Assyria right now? What's your Assyria? Do you have something that's threatening you right now? Is it poor health? Is it something financial? It could be a family thing that you're walking through right now in the season. What is your Assyria that's knocking on your door? I want to encourage you right now to during this last song that we're about to sing right now, and we're going to ask God turn it around, and he does something every time we pray. I want to ask you right now to lift up to God your Uzziah on that connect card. You can put it on that connect card, or you can lift up to God your Assyria right now. Hezekiah, we're going to read later on, when Assyria's coming, he puts out his prayer before God. He lays it open. That's what you're doing with these cards. You're saying, God, right now I need you to get in the middle of this. I want to acknowledge, God, that you're in the middle. Lord, I need you to intervene right here. And we're going to ask you to give the opportunity right now to fill that out on that connect card in front of you. And as we're singing the song, you can take the connect card to your left or to your right. You guys online can fill out the request prayer button, and we would love to pray for you, whatever your Zai is, whatever your Siri is. But let's do that right now. You can do that as we're about to sing. On top of that, I want to encourage you with this, and that is, may you right now, maybe you need to step up and say to God, God, I'm available to you. You're not my assistant, God. I'm your assistant. And maybe that needs to be your prayer, is that you've been trying to put yourself above God. You realize, you know what? I need to be below God. And right now, it may be time for you to lift him up, fess up, or step up and say, you know what? Today, I'm going to admit that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm going to accept him. I'm going to follow his ways. Let us know on that connect card. We'd be honored to walk with you and follow up with you. But right now, as we're getting ready to sing, why don't you make that move and lift up your Uzziah, lift up your Assyria, and step up and admit that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Won't you stand at this time? Please stand, and let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray together as we lift up our Uzziahs and our Assyrias. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and you're the great God who holds all things together. Lord, we've seen your word that all things were made for Jesus and by him and through him. Lord, you are the God on the throne above all. We lift you up high and exalted. And Lord, with that, as we worship right now, as we worship tonight, Lord, help us to make it just a point in our life, Lord, to constantly, constantly lift you up. And we're so enamored by you that we just get overwhelmed, that we don't think about the circumstances anymore. All we can realize is that our sin is so great and it needs to be forgiven, and it has been forgiven. Our sin has been atoned for through Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know what the Uzziahs are out there and the Assyrians are right there, right now in our lives, but Lord, I want us to lift them up to you right now. And Lord, we're asking you, the God who's above all, to now get in the middle of it all. And Lord, may you have your way and may you turn it around for your glory. Lord, help us to make that move and a step up right now. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the whole church said, amen. So whatever it is, once you make that move, once you lift up your Uzziah, your Assyria, whatever it is, once you take it to the cross as we sing and praise God.